We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 62, I think.
Yeah.
I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvhorror.com.
I'm Jason the TV Holic from tvholic.com.
And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com.
And as per usual, it was just a minute ago that we were talking about what episode this was.
Just a minute ago.
Okay, excuse me. I don't think either of you ever confirmed that it was 62.
We both did, actually. I think we both did.
Whatever.
Anyway, what's new, everybody?
A podcast with all three of us.
Yeah, my oven doesn't work. That's not new.
That's not new. That's old news.
Going on months. Anyway.
Going on months. Come on now.
It's been weeks. Anyway.
I'm just saying.
You know, Ray, I've missed having you around.
A couple weeks, months. All the time. Oh, Amory.
Okay, so we're going to jump right into the news. Katherine Heigl may already have appeared in her last episode of Grey's Anatomy, according to Entertainment Weekly. Apparently, she was supposed to be back on set on March 1st, and March 1st came and went, and she was not back on set. And so it appears that we may have seen the last of Izzy Stevens, which, oh well.
And to that, I say, at first I thought it might make a little bit of a difference, but the way they've gone, mm-hmm. and basically writing her out, you know, and effectively, you don't miss her.
Exactly. I couldn't care less that she's gone.
She's not missed from... actually, her being gone actually allows Alex to go back to being like Alex.
Yeah.
And for him to start a new journey towards becoming a better person again. Because I would have thought sort of the way that the story went is that if she was going to be back, you would have thought she would have already been back already.
Yeah.
Like as soon as Derek.
She was supposed to be.
But since she's not, you're not even really missing her.
First of all, she had a chance to come back when Derek came back.
Yeah.
And she turned that down. Second, I won't miss her because I'm fine with the way the show has been without her. But yeah. What I was going to say was that she should have, if the rumors are true and she asked to come back this season, she maybe should have said, no, I'm okay with leaving last season, because she would have gone out a lot better. Like, she would have gone out with a better storyline.
And people would have hated
Izzy less. Went out. Yeah. Instead, she went out. Kind of.
They kept her. I mean, she was under contract.
Right, but she should have asked to be released from her contract.
It was kind of that she was going to be back, and then over the time between the end of season and coming back, they seems that they came up with this part-time thing to allow her to do other stuff.
No, that's what I'm saying, that she originally asked to leave and then said she wanted to come back. I read the story.
Yeah.
The story says that she asked to leave and then changed her mind and said she wanted to come back. So they came back and then she took the maternity leave, which was fine. And she did some projects and they accommodated that. And now I think she's learned that she's okay with not being there.
And we're okay with her not being there as well.
Right. My point was just that maybe if she hadn't, like if she had chosen a different way, she would have been, yeah. She wouldn't be the hated person she is now.
Well, obviously, if she hadn't been sort of like the one that the stories were always coming out that she was complaining about something,
yeah,
she
exactly.
would come off better in it. But even if she was asking to be out after the end of last season, it wasn't like they were really thinking of letting her out.
They could have killed her off. I mean, she was dead in the finale.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if she really had fought it and she wanted out, I think they would have let her out and they would have had her die.
Yeah. Anyway, enough Grey's Anatomy. I'm bored of it. Conan O'Brien has set a 30-day live show tour schedule called The Legally Prohibited from Being Funny on Television Tour.
Which is the funniest and best name for a tour I've heard.
Tickets are absurdly expensive.
I just think the title of the show is funny.
Yeah, it's very funny. And he's not making any money off of it. All money will go to making sure that his crew is taken care of, because he's using his crew from his show as his crew for the tour. And Andy Richter will be there. So... Betty White, set to host Saturday Night Live on May 8th, with returning cast members Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, Anna Gasteyer, Tina Fey, Rachel Dratch. You name it, they're coming back to celebrate Mother's Day. So she's really not, she's like the host in name, but she's like not really going to be by herself. Oh, and she's also going to be on the middle season finale.
To which Ray and I go, eh.
And I say, I don't care. I like it. ABC has decided to air the two-part Castle with guest star Dana Delaney on Mondays, consecutive Mondays, instead of a Sunday Monday like they had planned it, because they're going to milk the Kate Gosselin being on Dancing with the Stars for all they can and try and get Castle a huge rating. So there's that. I think it's so weird that Dana Delaney is a series regular on Desperate Housewives, yet she's able to go do this, and they're trying to get her for a pilot. Like, ABC, like, she doesn't want off her show. She's not being killed off, nothing like that. She's got a long contract. And, like, the head of ABC is like, no, let's get her on a different show.
I thought she was leaving.
She wasn't, like, if she gets the pilot, she is, but it wasn't, like, because Mark Cherry was going to write her out or anything like that. Like, it was, like, ABC sought her and asked her to ask off of the show, which I think is weird. She's
a big name. They already have a lot of names on that show.
That's true. And they're not using them for goodness.
Is anybody watching the show anymore?
They're not using her for a whole lot, you know.
I haven't watched it in years.
And anybody out of the main four, it becomes, after a period of time, becomes, you know, sort of extraneous to the stories that they're telling.
Yeah. Anyway, ABC has renewed Brothers and Sisters for next season. Is anybody still watching that? I'm not.
I do. Although I'm sort of interested to see where they go with that, with Rob Lowe going to be gone, and with Calista Flockhart asking for a lighter schedule, which would actually probably make the first part easier if you also had, I don't know, the person that she's married to gone, that if she's also not in episodes, it'd be easier to, unless they kill him off or something like that, it'd be easier to do something. But it seems like there's a lot of change coming. But yeah. I'm also interested to see how they're going to use Rob Lowe on Parks and Rec.
Who knows? I don't know that he's a funny, funny guy, so I don't know that it'll really work, but I like him.
Well, on the Parks and Rec thing is, I just saw that somebody else was, like, cast, and I'm like, how much larger, like, are these side bits, or are these recurring cast members, or are these main cast members?
I think they're recurring.
How many more people can you add to what they have already? They already have a sizable cast.
I mean, The Office has like 15, and they use them all enough. Like, but Adam Scott, Rob Lowe, they're going to be like Adam Scott's going to be a love interest for Amy Poehler's character. So he's going to be like a recurring guest star, maybe a recurring like star. I'm not really sure, but they're not going to just be like side parts, especially for the two names that they're getting.
Yeah.
So who knows? Fox has renewed Fringe for next season, which I'm kind of surprised at. Not because Fringe isn't like an interesting show, but because I didn't know that the ratings were there to keep it for another season. But kudos to Joshua Jackson, because I love him.
It's done well, you know, pretty well, considering where it airs. Like, it hasn't done what they would necessarily hope from a show, but up against Grey's Anatomy and CSI and The Office and Supernatural, that's a it holds up really well ratings wise in that really tough time slot. I'm not surprised necessarily that they end up renewing. I'm surprised that they announced it already. It sort of seemed like something that they might wait, but it seems that they may have made their decision, considering that they've pushed, you know, the rest of Lie to Me to become a summer show.
Yeah,
basically. And
I still think Lie to Me is going to be back for more.
Oh, I would be happy if they turned that or anything into actual summer programming that wasn't reality or repeats.
I agree.
I mean, Fox did try Mental. Lie to Me and the new Matt Nick show on...
whatever it's called now. It was like...
On a Monday night sounds good for the summer.
Now it's called The Good Boys, I think.
Yeah, whatever it ends up being called. That sounds interesting for a Monday night, you know, back-to-back new episodes of stuff, because last season it was pretty much Mental and like repeats, you know. So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, that comes back soon, May. So yeah. And in other renewal news, NBC has renewed all of its Thursday lineup officially. Community was the only holdout, I think.
The only one they had announced before last week or whenever it was Parks and Rec was the only one that had to.
Oh, did they announce Community with Office and 30 Rock, or was I thought they were announced sooner? Well, that's cool because I like all of them, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm glad they're giving Community a chance, even with its sort of lower ratings.
Yeah, but look what Parks and Rec did. Like, they gave that a chance, and now it's everybody's favorite comedy. Not everybody's. We know Ray hates Amy Poehler, so she's not watching.
People and critics and bloggers have come around on Parks and Rec, but it's not like Parks and Rec is ripping it up in the ratings.
Yeah, I wasn't
either.
Trying to say it was. I'm just saying that they give people chances.
I was happy to see that just because it's sort of become my favorite of, like, if I had to choose most nights, like, only could watch one NBC comedy on Thursday, I'd probably pick Community over the rest of them right now.
Oh, my God. I do not agree with that. Sorry. That was what that noise was.
For consistency speak, not necessarily that it's always better, that other shows don't hit highs, that, you know, that The Office or 30 Rock doesn't necessarily hit a higher, but they also seem to hit low. You know, there's been, Community has been pretty consistently on the above average side that I can't recall an episode that I've tuned into recently, or, you know, that...
Here's a preview. I can recall one this week's.
Well, I haven't watched this week's yet.
All right, sorry.
So...
A lot of people loved it, though, so I'm sure you'll love it. I just didn't. So, anyway...
Anyway, that's the news. Anything else?
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Why, do you have something bad?
Yeah. No, I was just, I thought you had one
wearing.
More. Okay, let me just clear something up now that we're on the podcast. We need to clear the air. I did not say, is that what you're wearing? Like, you just said it.
Okay, was it? Did we talk about this last week? No, we didn't. Okay. Did we?
I don't think we did because it was like, maybe we, no, we didn't, but it was that day. Sorry. I know you're all like, what the hell are they talking about?
Here's what happened. Look, we may have already talked about this, but let's face it. People don't listen to two in a row. Okay. I pulled out a pair of capris and I was cuffing them because I'm like 5 feet tall. So capris are like short pants. So they're like an inch above my ankles. I have to cuff them now that you know that. So I pulled the pair of pants out and Ray goes, is that what you're wearing? I don't know how to take it. Like, is she saying that my clothes are bad? What is she telling me? And then she's like,
I wasn't. All I was doing was, I wasn't sure if she was just rolling them up to where, if she had just seen them and decided, oh, I want to roll those up. I was just trying to determine if that was what she was wearing, partly because I was thinking to myself, oh, I'm wearing my capris today, too.
Love it.
That was anyway. All. It was not, but Amber keeps insinuating that I was judging her clothes.
Flashbacks to our trip to L.A., I already miss Los Angeles. I'll tell you that right now. I miss Los Angeles the minute I was at Los Angeles airport because I was ready to go home. I mean, I wasn't ready to go home. But then I sat on a plane for 2 hours waiting to take off. Oh, so pissed, you guys. I was so pissed.
In L.A.?
Yes. Yes. I was in L.A. where there was like GPS issues. So we were out. We taxied out. We waited out there for like an hour. Then we taxied back. And our pilot's like, oh, the GPS isn't working, so we're going to get that fixed. And by the way, we ran out of gas or we would run out of gas if we took off now. So we're going to get refueled. So we sat there for 2 hours. Incidentally, my layover in Chicago was only an hour and 20 minutes. So I was like, oh, great. I'm going to be stuck in Chicago. Hey, Kurt, you want to let me stay there overnight? So anyway, I get to Chicago, and as it turns out, my second flight was delayed as well to make up for the fact that my first flight was 2 hours delayed. So I made it home, and then my mom almost killed me on the drive home because she's a terrible driver, and it was awesome.
Okay.
Anyway, prime time! Ooh, man. I'm like,
that suddenly sounds awake. Awesome.
It was. It was awesome. What, my flight home?
Yeah.
Or prime time?
Well, we'll see about prime time here in the next few minutes.
I'm an awesome driver, by the way.
Okay.
Ray would not agree with that, but I did not get her in any accidents.
That's true. She didn't.
Oh, my God. I hit a possum the other night. It has nothing to do with TV.
Are we talking about prime time or what?
My head is going crazy. Okay. The Amazing Race, season 16, episode 3, Run Like Scalded Dogs. So this was...
Is that the name of this episode?
Run Like Scalded Dogs? I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought the name of it was We're Not in the Bible Belt Any Longer.
could not tell you. I don't go by the maybe. Who knows? I'll tell you what. Which episode was this? Who got kicked off this week? Oh, no. Spoiler Nobody. Alert. Wait. Ray, did you watch it? Okay. Nobody got kicked off.
Yes, Amory. I think I would have stopped you long ago if I hadn't watched it.
And I was actually, I was happy that there was a non-elimination.
A what? What was that?
Immolation. There was a non-elimination round.
Hey, Amory, you've caught my LA disease. Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, Ray could not speak. Anyway, so Jeff and Jordan from Big Brother are still there.
Yeah, I don't care either way. I would have been fine with them leaving, with them staying. They made a pretty big, well, they didn't really make the mistake. Their driver made the mistake, but.
I think, yeah, he took them to like some residential town. I think that I don't care at all about any characters this season or any racers.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I was actually just thinking about that as I was watching it the other night. I was like, I'm not rooting for anybody.
They're all too stupid for me. I mean, I think that the producers and the editors had decided that that is their theme this season.
Is it everybody stupid?
Yes, because they play it up.
They really are.
So they're playing every time there's a mistake? That's the stuff that...
Correct. Like, there's some stuff that, like, you know, there's a mistake or they say something that in a typical season, like, you might laugh at it, but you wouldn't, like, it's one of those things where you would think, yeah, if I were in that situation and I was tired and I'd been up for however many days, I probably wouldn't know either. But they play it up. Like, every time somebody does something stupid, they, like, show a clip of them saying, like, we think we're... You know what I mean? Like something about how they're clever and then they do something really stupid. So I think that it really is their theme, their, you know, unannounced theme of the season is about stupidity because,
yeah,
I don't know. And I happen to think that, I think I already told Amory this, so I might have said this last week, that I think the challenges are kind of tame. Like they're not very exciting challenges. And that actually goes along with the theme.
Right. They can't be too hard because these people are morons.
Exactly. So I too don't have a.
I didn't even know like that the dad and the is it the dad and the daughter? I didn't even know they
Steve
were a
Nally.
Team. I had no idea, and I was like, "Who is that girl?" And then there they are.
Well, I get confused because we don't see her a lot. We've seen a lot of him.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah, because when she was with Joe, right? Because they did. They switched partners or they joined teams.
Right.
And I was like, who is that? Like, I don't know. That's not a couple I'm used to seeing. And then I realized, oh, no, those are the two partners. Never mind.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So The Amazing Race is kind of letting me down this season. But whatevs. It's coming back again, isn't it?
I'm sure.
There's always an off season, like the family season. Anywho, moving on. Chuck, season 3, episode 9, Chuck versus the Beard. And I do have to say, Ray, after all the buildup, and all of the suspense and all of the enjoyment that everybody seemed to have had, and all the critics and all their buildup, what was the end result for you?
I really liked it. I didn't think it was as amazing as everybody said it was.
And do you think it's because they built it up so much? Because I'm with you. I enjoyed it. I think it was a great episode. Do I think it was the best episode of Chuck that I've ever seen, like everybody's saying? No.
Okay, well, first of all, I think my honest opinion, and I apologize to all the bloggers who are now going to be like, you don't know what I'm thinking. they're probably not going to say it that way, but in their heads they will.
Yes.
Not that they're listening.
They'll say worse words in their heads.
Is that it was directed by Zach. And Zach is a nice guy. He's great. He's like really nice to when you have to interview him, and he's really nice to fans, and he's just a good guy. You know what I mean? And he directed it, and I think that a lot of them were more enthusiastic about their praise for it because they knew that he directed it, quite frankly. Like, I think they enjoyed it. Like, I think we all enjoyed it because it was kind of a throwback, and I really like that Morgan now knows. I think it will actually be better for me because I haven't been emotionally connecting with the show lately, but I think now that Morgan knows, there'll be more... I don't know. There's a chance for freshness there, I guess, that I like, that I think will be good for the show. So I really liked it, but I didn't think it was this amazing episode that everybody said it was. And maybe it was because they used words like amazing. I was just like, really? It's hard for a show to live up to amazing.
It is. It definitely is.
Well, I think it told a really good story. But for me, part of what would make a show or an episode amazing is the level of humor also attached to the show. And I didn't find, because there was sort of, I don't know, there were sort of higher stakes drama-wise and in the situation that they were in, that there wasn't really a place for as much comedy to come out of it. But I did really like stuff like Morgan, once he like hears the whole thing, he, instead of like being mad or whatever, he's mm-hmm. just like, that's awesome, you know?
I mean, it's totally Morgan response. Like, if anybody's going to be excited about it, it's totally Morgan. So I'm glad that like, it wasn't like he did find out accidentally, but he was making a stand. Morgan was getting something to do, to be like, to stand up for himself, and he, you know, he gets to kind of shelter Chuck a little bit and be like, no, Chuck, you have to stand up and do this, before he knows. And then when he realizes, of course, he's thrilled, but he got to be kind of the big man for once. And I think that was important for his character too.
I think they did have some fun though, a little bit on the, I mean, there was some good stuff in the sort of buy more, like the raising of the flag. Mm-hmm. And then obviously anytime Jefter performs is a good thing.
Yes.
And so I think it's some of that. I think Jefter performing, Morgan knowing, they told a good, you know, it was a really good story. I think that's what sort of led, I think it all really worked well together, that given where things were going and some of the fan backlash or whatever, I think that may have played into it too, is that, you know, the story that was told here was much,
mm-hmm.
thought that people would like this more, and
I don't know. I know what you're saying. What I like too is it was kind of less about the relationships going on with the couples, or like the shippers or whatever weren't going to be as upset. So maybe pulling the focus away from only focusing on that kind of made people enjoy it a little bit more. I don't know. It was a good episode. It was good acting, you know, things like that.
I'm excited
for more.
Did a good job directing week. The episode too. I thought it was
a little frenetic, but it was
put together pretty well.
Show.
I liked the story that it still maintains with Chuck needing an outlet to that it bottling up all these things is what has caused like the computer to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for mm-hmm. him to not flash, and he doesn't really have Sarah to talk with, and Awesome doesn't want to know anything because it's messing up his relationship. And so what Chuck thought might be somebody else he could talk to or something like that is gone. And finally being able to just like lay everything out there to his best friend was just what he needed to sort of get the everything flashing again and working mm-hmm. properly. And then, you know, obviously perfect score on Duck Hunt. I love Morgan with, Did you just flash on Duck Hunt?
Right.
But I thought I think it was definitely above average from the episodes that we've gotten this season. I think it falls in the upper echelon of episodes from this season. I also thought it was paced better. It didn't seem like too much went on, or that, because
mm-hmm.
it really kind of took place over like a day and stuff, but... But ultimately, the Buy More is really not turning out to be the best cover.
No, it certainly isn't.
Because there's more agents from other places that end up at that place than...
Exactly.
Than you could believe.
So that's Chuck. I look forward to the rest of the season. Prospects sound good that we're going to get another season, but who knows at this point. We'll just keep our fingers crossed.
I think if ratings stay, you know, in the range mm-hmm. that they are now, that there's a good shot.
Yeah. Especially with the fact that they just picked up, or Summer Glau just got a pilot that's a kind of a spy-ish, like, good companion piece to Chuck. So maybe they're thinking about that. So we'll see. Another Monday night show, folks. Greek. Season 3, episode 17. The Big Easy Does It. I thought for a minute that I had forgotten to watch this, but no, I definitely did. And here's the thing. I think that Casey is looking for flaws in Cappy. And while I understand that he should make a decision... He is looking, you know, she is looking for a reason to get out of it. She's looking for a reason to find an issue with it. And I think that she wants a little bit of Sam Page in her life, and he should just go back to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
I think the thing that bothers me about this whole Cappy, Casey, she thinks she knows what she wants to do. He doesn't know what he wants to do other than he knows that he wants to stay in college longer, is that I don't recall choosing a major being such a huge deal. Like, people pick a major and switch majors and change majors, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah, I had, like, six.
The issue is that she's, like, he's, like, in his senior year, which that can't even really be possible, to be honest. If you don't have a major, you can't get that far.
Well, that's the other thing, is that from his end, it would be, like, super easy to just fill one out and put anything down just to make the conversation go away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're using it like they needed something to create some tension, and the thing that they've decided on focusing on for him sort of choosing to move forward, or, you know, or they're him looking at his future, is this dumb little thing with choosing a major.
It's basically that. It's a contrived reason to add tension. I think my problem with it is I actually have no problem with this issue being something that's a contention, because it has actually been something that has been an issue all along for her and Kat B.
Right.
What I have a problem with was how quickly they got from her asking him to declare a major to her fighting with him about it. And what I mean is that I actually understand her problem is not that he didn't declare a major. Her problem is that he wants to stay a kid and be Peter Pan. Like, he doesn't want to leave Never Neverland. That's the problem that she really has. Like, she is starting to move forward and to find other interests besides partying and stuff like that. So I understand actually where she's coming from. What my problem is that, one, she's staying at CRU, so, like, it's not an immediate issue. Like, if the issue was, I'm about to graduate, and you can't make a decision, so you're going to be here for who knows how long, what do I do? Like, do I keep dating you even though we're never going to be close together? You know what I mean? Until you make a decision and leave college? But she's not leaving CRU.
Well, the other thing on that, too, though, is if he's actually been there and never officially declared, but he's taken all kinds of classes, even if he declared one, he would still be nowhere near completing one.
I know. Well, that's what I said before. He's not really a senior if he's...
Even if he declared one, it's not like they would still both be graduating at the same time.
Exactly.
Like, at this point...
I mean, I think what she's trying to say is if he declares a major now, by the time she's done with law school, he'll be graduating.
Yeah.
So they'll be in the same page. They'll both be moving forward.
Right.
But to go back to what I was saying, my real issue is that they could have let it happen a little slower. Like, I don't think she's actually, like, this is where I really disagreed with you, Amory, was I don't think she wants Sam. Is that the guy's name?
No, that's his name in real life. I don't know his name on the show.
Okay. I don't remember his name. So whatever the guy's name is, I don't think she actually wants him. I think she wants what he represents, somebody who has chosen a path in life and is pursuing it, and it's away from school. Like, I think that maturity level is what she wants, not that guy. Like, I think she clearly loves Cappy. Like, she goes back to Cappy and she tells him the truth. Like, she's, you know what I mean, she's attempting to have a real relationship with Cappy. So I don't think that it's about the guy. I think it's about what he represents, which, by the way, I thought it was a nice parallel, because Catherine was also, it wasn't really about Rusty, it was about losing her virginity. You know what I mean? It was about having
Catherine,
that experience.
How much do I love her? Oh, how much do I love Catherine? God, I love her.
In these last few episodes, she's, like, become, like, my favorite character.
Every time she's on screen, I think it's just genius. That girl, she cracks me up.
Well, I like Rusty with the where he was talking to her about how they hadn't even really figured out how to greet each other yet.
Yeah.
and she's talking, you know, much further down the line. But,
well, let me finish what I was saying before, was just that they could have built it up a little bit more. I think they could have had her acknowledge that he didn't choose a major and be kind of okay with it, but not, you know what I mean? Not really okay with it, but, like, okay, fine, you didn't choose one, I won't pressure you. And then started to show how she's starting to do things like she had, like they were already doing. Like, she had the LSAT, and it showed how he would wake up and go party, and she has to study, and she's worried about something, and he's not thinking about, you know what I mean? Like, showing why it's a difference, why his choice of a lifestyle is becoming so different from hers, and why it does affect a relationship, because I think it does. But I think they just rushed to the conclusion too quickly. Like, I think they were setting up a good storyline, but as per usual on this show, they move way too quickly to resolve a little arc You know what I mean? Like, they could have let it go a little longer, and we all would have said, oh, I get it. I get why they're having troubles. You know, she's chosen to go one way in life, and he keeps partying and doing things that don't match what she's trying to do, and that's causing a little friction. That would have been understandable, but...
But instead, the friction is only in the one... The main friction is only in, like, this one episode.
Right.
I mean, there's little hints at it before, but you don't really see her yet, like, in this episode, where she's trying to study, and everywhere she goes... It's not conducive to it, and people are telling her just to relax and
exactly and
whatnot, and not really thinking about what it really means that you're not going to move forward in that direction if you don't do well on that test.
Right. So, that's, I think that's why my issue with was it. But anyway,
so Greek, well, we got a couple more episodes this season. It sounds like next season will be the last season. Nothing official, but that's kind of how Sean's taking it, the creator. So. We'll see.
Which I'm okay. Like I said, I was okay with that.
Yeah.
As long as they
totally.
Give them time to finish it, I'm totally okay with them ending it, because I think actually it works for that kind of show to have, you know what I mean, like a beginning and an end there. Like everybody won't have graduated from school. I would hope that they're not going to jump forward that much. But at least like we understand why it has to end anyway. Like it couldn't go on forever anyway.
Yeah.
So that's Greek.
But I'm fine. That falls under my my wish that if a show goes two seasons or more, that they should be given notice on when the end is going to come so that they can give an ending, because that's had enough. There's been enough story there to create, you know, a lot of connection there for fans of the show to just go to possibly another season, but the creators are thinking in one direction while the network might be thinking in the other direction, and then you end up with a show that has no... Not that everything has to be tied up in a nice little bow, but on a show like this where it's a lot about the relationships and the people, you want to see, you know, some sort of ending, even if it's just an ending that says they're headed in this is what their future likely will be type of thing. Not necessarily that you know, they don't have to do an OC ending where they jump ahead and show you their future or whatever, but if it ends up being the last season, I hope that as they go into it, that they do know that, like, that sort of ABC Family does sort of give that sort of official word to them.
Right, exactly. So we'll see.
Amory,
what's next?
What? Before we move out of Monday.
Okay.
Did you stick to your word and not watch How I Met Your Mother this week?
I did not watch it. Stuck to my word, mostly because I didn't record it on the living room TV, and I haven't really watched TV when I go to bed. I just go to sleep. So I haven't decided if I'm going to stick to my guns and not watch it, because it is in there, but we'll see. So
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
So it's temporarily have stuck to them.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about Tuesday. Lost.
What was this episode?
This last episode was Dr. Linus.
Yes, it was the Ben episode. Ray, I'm really liking that theory you have.
Which one?
About their flash sideways.
Oh, that it represents where they are on the island?
Because, you didn't know until the end. Is Ben going to go run away with Locke, or is he going to make Amory cry by saying he's the only one who will have me? And then suddenly he's on the good guys.
On their side?
Maybe not the good guys, but the beach guys, as we'll call them. And then, in his flash sideways, he essentially saved Alex when he didn't before.
Right.
So I'm really liking that theory. And I really like this episode, you'll be happy to know. Did I love it? Not enough was really answered for me, but it was a good episode. And I just love Michael Emerson so much. And really, I was caught off guard by the fact that I came to tears when he said, he's the only one who'll have me. But it was really good. It was really well done.
Yeah, I think it was a good episode. I like some of the other stuff with Jack and the dynamite and not believing that it's going to blow up and then it doesn't. But I also like just in that, again, in that whole thing, there's a tell me such, you know, tell me about something, and the answer is it's not time yet.
Right.
It's not time, and you're just like... Again, with the, but yet he's on his way to kill himself. So when exactly was the time going to be is the question. But I just, those are the things that I think are funny. In every episode, there's something where somebody wants information or is promised that they're going to get some sort of information, and then it never comes.
Right.
And I think this whole first half of the season is kind of built that way, is you're getting these sort of like, this was a Ben-specific episode. And I think you might get a couple more of these, and then you'll start getting maybe real answers to things.
Yeah. After seeing them at PaleyFest, I don't think they're giving us real answers about anything.
Well, to the overall story, you might get closer to finding out what some of these, you know, the things that actually affect the story that, you know, they've been telling.
Maybe.
Nestor gave an episode number of an episode that gives them answers, but it seems far away.
His episode is not this week. Anyway.
No, I know. I'm saying he gave a number to an episode that seems far away to me as far as expect this one to have big answers. I'm like, yeah, okay, but that's several episodes from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only exactly. A few episodes from the end. So. Yeah.
What'd you think, Ray?
I enjoyed it. Like, I've been enjoying them.
Right, because you have no expectations.
Shut it, Amory.
As the world falls down.
I'm going to ignore Amory. I'm trying to think. Oh, I know. I find it interesting that so many people loved this episode, whereas I don't really think that there's anything different about this. I mean, obviously what happened in it was different, mm-hmm. and who was the focus was different, but I don't think overall, like, the episode itself was all that much different than any of the other episodes we've seen. So when people are loving it, I'm just like, see, this just proves that you have characters you really love, and you really love when, doesn't matter what they're doing, yeah. you love it. And you have characters that you don't love. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, by the way. I just find it interesting.
I prefer Ben's stories to Saeed's stories. Something about the Saeed episode left me feeling cold. Something about the Ben episode, and it wasn't just the Michael Emerson stuff. It was the stuff in the Black Rock, and it was the reunion on the beach. Like, it made me feel I liked it better. Yeah, and I agree with you completely. Like, you like I don't like the
Kate episode. And I'm not speaking about you, like.
Oh, no, I know.
You understand. You get it. But I'm saying, like, there are certain critics online who will swear up one side and down the other that it has nothing to do with liking one character more than the other. And I'm like, you know what? Just admit that that's what it is. It's okay to say that.
Yeah,
like, it's okay to admit that I'm more invested in this character. So, yeah, I like this one more.
Or not even necessarily the character, but the actor behind the character
actor, whatever it is. I mean, I think some of it, too, is, like, Saeed's story was kind of dry, whereas this story had a lot of good humor because it's Michael Emerson and it's Michael Ben. And, right. And just, like, this, just be the difference between the two Bens and the not-so-difference between them, I think, is what adds a little bit of humor to it as well. So it adds something to it, but anyway.
I like the Miles. It had never been brought up that Nikki and Paolo were buried alive. So I did like that Miles kind of caught on that. They were dead.
That was one of the best lines because he says it like everybody else there knows that kind of thing.
But nobody else does.
But nobody else does. It's just him. And then you see him later with the diamonds. The diamond. That was a nice little throwback to what was a problem with the previous season, you know, where stuff wasn't necessarily working. But a nice little callback to that and a nice little funny moment in the episode.
Right. So Lost. Couple more episodes to go. Episode 8 is airing this week. And episode 8 of, I guess, 18. So we'll see what happens. Moving on. Psych. Season 4, episode 16. Mr. Yin presents. You guys, I love Jimmy Simpson. Mary Lightly. I love that character.
I don't know what it is.
Huh?
I'm bummed about the character.
Oh my God, I know.
You just said you love the character. Wouldn't you be bummed too?
I was totally bummed. I was so bummed. I love him.
Oh, he was so funny when he was like doing Sean's stuff. Like, I can't even think of what it was right now, but like Sean's stick, like shtick, not stick.
Yeah.
That just went somewhere wrong. He just said one of the things Sean says all the time. And Sean just like looks at him like, all right, stalker. Like, he doesn't say it, but you know he's thinking it. Like, all right.
Maybe I like Mary Lightly so much because he is a stalker, and I'm kind of a stalker, too.
You identify with them, Emery.
I have other news. Speaking of stalking, Kenny Johnson is joining the cast of Sons of Anarchy. I'm not really stalking you, Kenny Johnson, I promise.
You'll anyway. Be able to stalk him weekly next fall.
Yeah, when I move to L.A. and camp out near his house. Anyway, back to Psych. I really thought this was a good episode. It kind of, the last couple episodes of the season really just kind of were like, okay, really? And then, like, Think Tank episode, the Jerry Ryan episode felt weird. Though I did like when his dad was like, I've heard it both ways or whatever. That was funny. Or was it Michael Hogan who said that? I don't really know. But I really liked the finale.
Yeah, I thought the finale was great. And I thought it was a nice change from, like, the opposite of Think Tank, where Sean was, like, completely off the rails.
Yeah.
Like, you needed to lock him up in a closet or something like that and not let him outside. And this episode obviously had more...
Michael Scott syndrome. Sorry, go on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. This episode had more heft to it, so while he still had some of his shtick, it was a little more measured and controlled, and it wasn't quite as far, you know, out. But there was still, you know, there was still plenty of fun to be had in the episode. But, I mean, I didn't mind the previous episode so much, but I really thought they did a great job with, you know, the homage to all the different Hitchcock films and stuff like that.
Yeah, and, me too.
Especially, like, the what I mentioned yesterday on TV Talk when we were on there, the Lassiter running across the field, and the plane comes flying along, and he falls down, and then he's like, somebody get that kid with the kid with the remote control plane. I mean, that was...
Yeah, it was really well
done.
That
was really well done. And, you know, shots, like, down the staircase, you know, that was kind of went on forever. And there was a lot of...
That's what I liked the most. The Rodé's, James's directing on the shots was really what I liked. I didn't think the actual shout, like, the things they actually referenced were all that... I mean, they weren't bad. They just weren't all that great. But I thought his directing, like his capturing what those films all look like, I loved that.
Yeah, that really, really totally worked.
I thought they were done in really, you know, really good ways. Like I mentioned with the, you know, sometimes really fun, like with the plane and others that just really gave you sort of that Hitchcock feel in the midst of the show. But what I really liked about the episode was that they played with the idea of Mary being, the person, but then not being the person, because that was sort of the easy, you knew at the end of the, you know, the summer finale when they caught Yang that there was, that wasn't it, you know, you knew there was more, you knew there was somebody else as a partner, and the easy answer was that it was Mary. And so I was glad that they didn't go that direction, but yet played with that direction as a possibility. But I was definitely interested in the way they ended it.
Yeah.
With the picture of, you know, Sean and you know, and Ally Sheedy's character, and, you know, a mysterious person looking at the photo, which to me is sort of going a little bit big on the mystery for this show. It doesn't really do that. And so I was kind of interested. It made it definitely interesting to see where they go with figuring out who that is.
I liked the need to pick between Juliet and Abigail, which, you know, it's done before, and it was smart to send, you know, the cops after the cops and him and his dad after. Like, it was, I don't know, it wasn't spend too much time deciding what he would do, but I loved, and I'm a crier by nature, but I loved the scene where Juliet finally broke down and let Lassiter, like, hug her. That made me cry because it was just so, like, she almost died. Sean wasn't there. Sean didn't come to save her. Sean didn't really care as much as he cared about Abigail, and Abigail then left him anyway. So, I mean, it was really well done.
I don't think that's true.
Well, in the situation,
I thought it was really well done, too.
If you were in the situation... Let me talk. If you were in the situation that Juliet was in and he had to pick between them, like, in that situation... He clearly picked Abigail, and he didn't come back for Juliet. Like, she almost died, and Sean wasn't there. It definitely seems like he doesn't love her.
No, I don't see it that way, because it seems in the story there...
I think she meant to Juliet, it seems that way.
Not to me. To Juliet, yes.
Well, I don't know that it necessarily... I don't know that you... Well, I don't know that you draw that out from where the show ends. You'd have to see where they pick the story up and find out what
Juliet
sort of
feels about it. I think you could maybe think it because she breaks down and cries and she doesn't know about what was happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know about the decision-making that went on at the... Well, so, from her point of view...
I don't know that she... But I think you're reading a lot into it to say that the reason she breaks down and crying is because Sean didn't show up.
I think maybe we're reading a little bit into it, but I don't know that we're reading a lot into it.
I think that she might have been crying because she was just about to be dropped over the side of the clock tower and was barely saved at the last minute.
Right.
I think Amory's not trying to say that she wasn't crying about that. She's trying to say that it's everything all happening at once.
And yes, I agree. I need to wait to see what happens in next season, but I clearly don't know what's going to happen. So for me, watching Juliet break down, that's how I took it. And I'm sure that they meant for it to be interpreted any matter of ways. That's how I interpreted
it. I
am going to continue interpreting whether
you
agree
to.
With me or not.
I'm not saying, I don't understand every time that there's a disagreement that you think that I'm trying to change your mind just because I'm saying a different opinion. I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just trying to say what my opinion is and that it's
you're
different
just
than
trying
yours.
To say, no, Emery, you're wrong.
No, I don't say that, though, just because that's what you hear.
All right, so...
I'm saying that to me, I think that may be reading something into it a little more than I did, and that the way that it sort of broke down, at least for me, is that it was they were all pretty sure that that's where Juliet was, or that one of them, you know, that's where Juliet was, and he didn't really have an idea, or, you know, there wasn't a for sure. And so when he does come up with an idea of what might be, he can't not, you know, have somebody go, and it's pretty much left to them to go check that one out because, you know, the cops are all racing to the
wrong, Jason, but I think that what you're forgetting is that's because you saw that happen, and so you know that. Juliet doesn't know that.
Yeah,
Juliet
know.
Doesn't know anything about the decision making that went into it. So she knows that Sean isn't there. Like, she's having a life or death moment and Sean isn't there, but everybody else is. So, and clearly Sean went after Abigail. So I don't think it's like a huge assumption to think that probably that's a little bit.
But at that point, she doesn't necessarily know that Sean went after Abigail.
God, we need to talk about another part of the episode besides Juliet.
Seriously, Amory.
Hold on.
Amory, you got to be okay with a little disagreement. You can't always, everything doesn't have to be so perfect. You got to allow a little disagreement and a little discussion.
I'm about to hang up.
Welcome to TV Times 2 with Ray and Jason.
Hey, shut up for a second. We're Abigail and Juliet. Juliet knew that that Mr. Yin had Abigail too.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. So then she knew that Sean, who wasn't there, but everybody else was there, probably went after Abigail. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have gone after Abigail. I'm just saying that I don't think the assumption that you're making is that big of an assumption. I think it is an assumption, sure, but your assumption is also an assumption. So
I'm not saying that it isn't.
Maybe
I'm just saying that it's mine.
The difference between women and men
could be
because I watched the commentary between James and what's his name, Andy Berman, the writers of the episode. And this was a question, by the way: do you think that Juliet will be angry that he went after, or do you think actually it wasn't just Juliet? They were asking if everybody would be angry, and I'm without saying. Well, their response was somewhat similar, though not exactly the same as yours, Jason. Whereas they were like saying that, you know, Sean was still trying to save somebody's life. So I don't think that she would be that angry because she's at least alive and she's fine. And he was also trying to save somebody else's life. So she won't be too angry, but I thought it was interesting because I was also like, well, I understand where the question's coming from though, because the question is more about, do we think that Juliet's going to have a response to that? But anyway, what I wanted to say was about this on this topic, but not in this disagreement, was that the thing that I found weird about it, or not weird, it's just a problem I have with the show in general, and I've learned to try to let it go because it's the show. They're not good at this continuity. And maybe it's because I know that they film their episodes out of order a little. So maybe that's the problem. But there was a lot, like the way Sean went from how he felt when Juliet's life was threatened to how he felt when Abigail's life was threatened. Like, it's not that he wouldn't feel that way, but I felt it was weird that he basically made the same decision each time for each girl.
Well, I kind of felt that it was a weird, their conversation on the bench at the end felt weird in that she was, she was coming back, but wasn't necessarily coming back for him or coming back for a long time or that they were necessarily together. But yeah, it did feel sort of out of place or didn't really work with considering that it was only like three episodes ago that he was about to, that Abigail's like out of his life and that relationship has gone away. You know, he's been eating the burritos and doing all the things that he couldn't do and whatnot. And then he's about to declare his love for Juliet, but doesn't. And then all of a sudden in this episode, there at the end, the way that conversation went was kind of weird. I didn't mind the conversation itself
because I felt like he was having the same epiphany that her life was threatened and maybe he was ready to have a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he was just having the same thought, but I don't know. It just felt weird that he was doing it with both girls.
I mean, it's hard to explain, but I get where I had that same sort of oddity thought about that situation sort of entered my mind when it was happening, that it was like, wait a second, wasn't he just, and now he's talking.
Right. And I think also because because Juliet's life was also threatened, I was like at that weird place where I was like, well, wouldn't that just reinforce what he felt a couple episodes ago about Juliet? Like, I mean, I know that Abigail's life was threatened too, but wouldn't he be able to tell the difference between the way he felt about the two different girls at that point? Like, wouldn't he realize that his feelings were stronger for the, even though he went after Abigail, he was clearly very concerned about Juliet and he called and he, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He was worried about what Juliet would think by him being there, by Gus being there instead of him being there. So like there was all of that, but then he had the same reaction and was going to declare himself Abigail like he did with Juliet. So I was like a little like, okay, that's just a little odd. But and I can't tell if it's just because they're bad at the, and I don't mean to be like picking on them, but they are bad at it. They're kind of bad at the continuity, making sure those things flow. I don't know.
Or just the way it was written or ended up, that it just seemed like more than it was really supposed to be or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like, well, that's what I mean. Like there's no, and I'm not talking about continuity, like, information. I'm talking about continuity of like how they play the scenes.
Yeah.
Like there's a lack of continuity. Like it's like what happened with Juliet happened, happened and it was isolated and we're not supposed to think about it and apply it to the way he's reacting now. So like, it's kind of weird how they don't like say, okay, well, this is how you played it in this episode. So you kind of have to you have to dial it back. And that's what I mean by maybe the two episodes were filmed, like maybe this episode was filmed first. And so, therefore, like, they didn't really have to say, oh, wait, this is how you played it. Except that they do have one episode at least to reference. So, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I don't know. I just know that they have referenced the fact that they filmed the episodes out of order. So, the writers, like, on Twitter have referenced the fact that they filmed things out of order. So, I know that – I don't know what order the episodes were filmed in. I just happen to know that they were filmed out of order. Because this last episode was not the last episode they filmed. So in that regard, like, you know what I mean?
They were mentioning, like, full episodes being filmed out of order. Like,
yeah, it seemed like it. It didn't seem like they were talking
not
about
just parts
just
of it, but
scenes.
That would work into where if you're filming sort of those episodes together, even though in the story they're appearing apart, that some of what might go into what you end up seeing on screen ends up looking a little different than what they may have gone for or what may have happened if they actually were filmed in the order that they aired. Because you would actually have played the scenes and know all that other stuff ahead of time that you may not necessarily have in your brain to think about while you're playing a scene. So that could be why. But anyways, I definitely did have that sort of similar feeling about that final bit.
Anyway, I did really enjoy the episode. I thought that that last, like those last scenes, I actually really liked the scene between Abigail and Sean. I mean, discounting what I knew about in previous episodes, I actually liked the exchange. I liked that their relationship, despite the fact that we had the Juliet stuff and they were kind of broken up for a little while, I liked that their relationship there was not about their breakup and whatever, was not about Juliet in any way whatsoever. It was about the fact that what Sean does puts her in a dangerous position. And I hope that they follow through with it. I'm not keeping my fingers crossed because I know this show, but I hope that they follow through with it. And I hope that, you know what I mean? Like, he is kind of realizing that he puts the people around him in danger. And I'm not saying that he does it intentionally, just his life puts people in danger. So I hope that they do actually follow through with that. And that just like last season, when he realized it with his mom, I hope that it's still another area where he kind of grows a little. I don't, like I said, not hold my breath. But anyway, I really liked it. I liked that musical montage. It was well done. I don't know what else. Oh, I did want to say that I agreed with Amory about the last couple of episodes, but I actually agree, just the season overall was not a strong one for me since this was a season finale.
The season it's overall, considering least. Adding in the first half of it in the summer, or are you just talking about since they came back in the winter here?
No, all of it.
Okay.
All of it, it's my least favorite season of all. There were a lot of things I liked about the season, and it doesn't mean I don't like the show or love the show, but overall the season itself was probably the weakest for me so far. This did a lot to redeem it, but I do feel like – I felt like overall this season they were very indulgent to themselves. They spent a lot of time doing things they had obviously thought about doing for a long time, mm-hmm. like doing parodies and homages and bringing in 80s stars, and I think that –
sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
Right. And it didn't work for me more times than it worked. Like, it still ended up having, like, an episode that had a lot of funny stuff. But overall, I felt like they sacrificed a lot of stories to do their things that they wanted to do versus trying to come up with a good story and then to include those things in with the story. So that's where I felt like the season just didn't overall work for me as well as others. So I'm hoping... Yeah. Hoping that they'll come back. They're already back writing season 5, so I'm hoping that they came back fresh and they got that all out of their system.
Yeah, or they got some of that out of their system and that they move forward.
But, James went off and did his extinction and he'll come back and not be so manic with Sean. And I don't know. Anyway, that's my thought on Sean. I mean, on Psych and this season. And on Sean, too.
That would be my hope for Sean is that maybe this type of situation, you know, building on top of the previous one finally does sort of get him in a place where he's still Sean, but a little bit more serious about what he's doing.
Here won't be that way just based on interviews with the writers, like with the people behind the scenes. Like, they feel like if Sean grows, the show is over. Like, that the basis of the show is over. So...
I think that's such a false premise. I hope you're wrong too. I hope that's not what they're.
Yeah, I hope that they realize that he can grow a little. He doesn't
I think early on in a series, but when you start moving on, now going into season 5, then I think it starts to tilt towards the other direction to where, when you're watching a show, you know that people grow, people do. You know, things do change, events do have effects on people, and that if you start to see no change, then you start to lose your audience because it starts to mean sort of like that things didn't really matter. Things that have happened weren't as big a deal as they were made to be or whatnot. That's been a complaint on, like, House, is that there would be something that was supposed to affect him and change him a little bit, show growth, and then... after they got that little arc out of it, he would revert completely back to... and they've finally gotten over that in this season, where they actually have allowed his character to grow, but he's still, you know, he's still the person that he was, but the character has grown. He actually does things that are nice, but he does them in a House way where they don't seem very nice, and things like that. And so I think, I really hope that they do... allow Sean to grow some, because otherwise it might start to get more like some of the episodes this season where it's just out of control and it starts to lose any little bit of heft that it needs mm-hmm. to continue on. It can't be just completely silly. Then there's got to be some, you know, story and drama and things moving forward ultimately there is a little bit of growth in just the fact that he's done something for four seasons now, you know, for 4 years now. I did like that. I think that was in the previous episode where Gus like mentions that they've that they've been doing this for like four years or something like that, or they were very self-referential.
Doesn't Sean say it when he's up there talking to the fishermen? You all know me. We've been doing this for 4 years.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
They're all like,
yeah.
Who, what?
But there was a lot of self-referential stuff in the previous episode. But yeah, I think they need to allow some of this to affect Sean somewhat, but yet still be Sean is not too much to ask for the series. Otherwise, I don't see it. I would unfortunately not see it going much longer if they don't. In some respects,
because
I don't want it to become a show itself. I don't know.
Well, it kind of becomes like it would kind of become like Monk, where episodes were fun and whatnot, but they would start to have his character grow, but then they would put him back so that he was still completely and audience started to drop off, even though it lasted for a while. It still wasn't. Right. Had they allowed the Monk character to grow a little more, it might have kept people with it longer. And I would hate to see that happen to one of my favorite shows, where it becomes a show that when you watch it, you like it, but you don't necessarily, you're not like, oh, I gotta watch that.
Right. All right. What's next on the list?
So I just went to check my oven, and it suddenly was back on 500 degrees and burning what I was cooking. So,
Amory, I don't think your oven's working.
Robot Ray.
What would a podcast be without an appearance?
I am so mad because it was a tastefully simple almond pound cake that cost $10. So I just wasted $10, two sticks of butter, because my freaking landlord won't fix my oven. Oh, I'm so mad. Anyway.
Well, now you can tell her it doesn't work.
I did tell her.
You can box it up and send it to her.
Yeah.
As a thank you for fixing my oven.
Yep.
All right. Can we move on?
Yeah. I think that's it. That's all for primetime.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah.
That's the end of primetime. And we've gone a little bit.
Is that really it?
Yeah, that's all we were talking about this week.
Oh.
Yeah, we only had five shows on the list since Amory's 3 weeks behind on White Collar and 2 weeks behind. I mean, you'd think she'd been somewhere for the last couple weeks or something. Didn't have access to a TiVo.
What about the sorry, just saw something that made me laugh. Never mind, we've talked enough.
Nothing.
I was thinking about what else was on this week. Whatever.
Well, I will just briefly say that I am 7 episodes away from finishing Buffy season 7.
And
nice.
And that's well, I would be done already, but well, I get a little aside for me. In the last couple of weeks, for whatever reason, Netflix had Disc end up on short wait. And so they did the right thing the first time, and they jumped way down the list and passed up all the Buffy and Angel stuff, because the next Buffy and the next Angel disc were both set at short wait. And so they didn't just send me the next disc on the list, which would be useless to watch without seeing the previous one. And and they sent me something down the list. And so that put me off watching it. But then they sent me a disc. They had to send it from... they sent me a Buffy disc, but they had to send it from out of the area. So it was going to take 5 days to get here. But in that case, they sent me the next disc on the list. And so while I was waiting for like disc 2 of Buffy to come from wherever, they sent me disc 3 of Buffy, which like shows up the next day. But... is just sits around because I'm not going to watch that before I watch the previous 4 episodes. And then they also sent me at the same time, they sent me the next disc of Angel, but it was the one that had been sitting on short wait. They finally sent it to me, and then it was broken. And so I had to send it back. And so, like, I had, like, 4 or 5 days where there were no episodes to watch. And then all of a sudden I had, because of the broken disc and stuff like that, instead of having 3 discs out, all of a sudden I had 4 discs because they were sending things out. And so all of a sudden I had 4 discs on Monday this past week, all that showed up at once. And I did what, you know, a TV-aholic's supposed to do. I watched all 4 of those discs by the time the mail was to come the next day and sent them all back out. But so that puts me at, I'm in the second half of Angel Season 4 and 7 episodes away from finishing Buffy, which I kind of like, you know, some of this Season 7 of Buffy, and kind of don't like, actually, this is the, Season 4 is sort of the first season that there's been on Angel that is sort of had episodes and things that I don't particularly care for after not really, after pretty much, you know, thinking the first 3 seasons were all pretty good. I don't know. I do think it's interesting that on both sides of the fence, they decided to introduce a teenager into the mix.
Yeah, that was the worst idea they had.
In both shows at around the same time. And it's kind of interesting that the two shows, while they ended up diverging networks and whatnot, they did parallel themselves in some of the stuff that they were doing. But Faith broke out of jail, so that was good the last few episodes. But that's where I'm at. So probably next week, by Monday, I'll get the last disc of Buffy Season 7. And so by next week, I'll have finished off that. And then it'll see how another week or so after that, and I'll finish off the last season of Angel. And with all that watching discs, you know, a disc a day for some periods of time and stuff like that, in the next month or so, like, most seasons of Buffy and Angel are going to be available instantly on Netflix, which means that I could have, you know, instantly, you could watch, you don't have to watch, like, 3 episodes a day or 4 episodes a day waiting for a disc or whatever. You could watch 10 episodes one day if you wanted to, and you could zip through seasons like you wouldn't believe. But I'm not waiting now.
Well, I have to go fight with my landlord about my oven and my burnt cake that cost me money, and she needs to give me $10 back because every penny counts.
I think you, seriously, you ought to give her a piece of cake.
It's solid. I'm so pissed off. It was not even cooked.
Give her the whole thing.
Oh my God, I'm so mad. I'm so mad, I can't even think.
You go, this is what this oven does to stuff.
Oh, so pissed off.
All right, people. Really need to go. If you'd like to comment on whatever it was we said here, you can do so at our website, tvtimes3.com.
Fill it all out.
Jazz hands. Or, you know, leave us some feedback on iTunes or email us or Twitter us. All of those things that you can do every week, but you don't do. Except for Kyle. Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah. Patty does too sometimes. And John is with me.
And Patty. You're right. And some of us some of them respond to us on Orange County Gal. All right.
Yeah,
go. Hockey by choice.
All right.
I've done my shout outs.
Time to go.
If you would let me finish.
I'm trying.
Our music was provided by IODA Promonet. This is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. I almost forgot what I was saying.
Awesome.
I'm sure that's a big surprise. All right.
Not if they listen to the opening. It won't be.
I was being sarcastic.
I got eight.
Sheesh.
Because I got to hang up.
I got to go pack, so.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
And I was adventure. Just playing off of your facetiousness.
It's been an adventure. It certainly has. Right?
All right. Ciao.
Bye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
It's not working.
It's set at 550, and the inside says it's at 200. Anyway.
Well, you know, you could cook something at 200. Anyway.
You could dry some fruit.
As his crew for the tour. And Andy Richter will be there.
Are you drinking something with ice or are you playing Yahtzee?
I just had a sip of my iced tea.
Oh, okay.